Okay, so we're learning Perek Yud Aleph. We're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Well, last week we ended with Pasuk Yud Beis. So let's read Pasuk Yud Gimel. Again, just to recap, you know, very quickly what's happening in this Perek. So at the very beginning of the Perek, we had a whole group of people, a whole group of kings, led by Yavin, the king of Chatzur. So he got together a whole group of other kings of local cities, and they decided that the only way to actually defeat the Jewish people would be to all get together and try to use some force. And they come out with a tremendous army, more than the Jewish people had ever seen before, with horses and chariots, which they had not seen, because until this point they were pretty much just fighting in the cities, around the cities. Horses and chariots were really for the warfare in the fields.
But it means in these battles,
and Akash Baruch Hu says, don't worry, even though it's a big force, and even though they're coming out with horses and chariots, don't worry about it. You're going to defeat them, and Akash Baruch Hu tells him to destroy the chariots, right? Burn all the chariots and to cripple the horses. Right? And we learned last week that the reason is because Akash Baruch Hu did not want the remaining battles of Yehoshua and his army to be attributed to the increased manpower or horsepower, right? All of a sudden they have horses and chariots, and that's why they're winning now. No, Hashem Baruch Hu wanted it to be clear to Yehoshua, to Bnei Yisrael, to everyone else who witnessed it, that these were miraculous battles. It's only because Hashem Baruch Hu was behind them, not because of these horses and chariots that they had won. Okay. So Pasuk Yud Beis just says all these cities, all these kings, and Yehoshua defeated, killed them all, destroyed everyone, just like Moshe had commanded. Let's pick up with Pasuk Yud Gimel. Rak kol ha'arim ha'omdos al tilam lo serafam Yisrael. So the only cities that the Jewish people did not burn were the cities that were omdos al tilam. Literally, tilam, tail, is a mound or a little hill. The most of the Mefarshim understand what we mean here, that the cities that were still fortified, meaning that they still had their walls, the cities that whose walls had not been destroyed, right? Just like Jericho, the walls were destroyed. The other cities, the walls were not destroyed. And those cities where the walls were not destroyed, so those cities were not burned. Zulasiyas Chatzor Levada Saraf Yehoshua. Except for Chatzor. Now, Chatzor was destroyed. So why was Chatzor destroyed? According to the Pashup Shat, the idea is that Chatzor was the main city. Right? If you look at the beginning of the Perek, Yavir Melech Chatzor was the ringleader. He was the one who got all the other kings riled up against Yehoshua and the Jewish people. So since this was the main city, and Yavin Melech Chatzor was really the main... Excuse me. Thank you. The main instigator here. So that's why specifically Chatzor was destroyed. All the other cities were spared. The cities, the people were killed, but they didn't burn down the cities. When it came to Chatzor, which was the main city, so that they burned down. The Radak quotes a drush here that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe already in the times of Moshe. He commanded him to burn down Chatzor. And Moshe passed on this command to Yehoshua. He says, when you go and conquer Eretz Yisrael, whatever you do to all the other cities is fine, but when you get to Chatzor, you have to burn it down. And it seems that they wanted to flee. But here HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow them to flee. We'll see in a couple of psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind of holding them back. And that's why Yehoshua burned down the city. The Radak also mentions that this is one of three places. He doesn't mention what the other two places are, so I don't know where they are. But I guess we have to go through Tanakh and we'll find them. But this is one of three places, he says, where the enemies wanted to fight. Hashem didn't let them fight. So the people of Chatzor really wanted to fight here. Hashem didn't really let them. And he just allowed Yehoshua to burn down the city. Okay, let's look at Pasuk Yedalad.
The Chol Shalal Ha'arim
Ha'eleva
Ha'behema. Wasn't the king of Chatzor the one who got everybody?
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you mean they didn't want to fight?
They wanted to fight. No, they wanted to fight, but they weren't given much of a chance to fight. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just basically allowed them to just wipe the floor with them, and not do anything. But I think also the Radak mentions that for some reason Chatzor ended up being like the collecting point of a lot of different people that were running from Bnei Yisrael. So a lot of these other kings and other cities, once Bnei Yisrael started beating them and the people started running, they ended up running to Chatzor. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of like almost trapped them in Chatzor, and then Yoshua came and killed all of them and then burned down the city. Okay, Pasuk Yudalel, V'chol shalal ha'arim ha'ela, so all of the booty, right, all of the spoils of the city, v'ha'behema, and all of the animals that were left in the city, bazzu lahem b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael were able to take this, right, they took the animals, they took all the spoils, rak es kol ha'adam hikula fi cherev, except for all of the human beings, right, all of the people, the inhabitants of the city were all killed. Adi shamdam osam lo hishiru kol neshama, all the people were killed, just the animals and the spoils were left for Bnei Yisrael to take. Pasuk Tesvav, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe avdo, kein tziva Moshe es Yehoshua. Interesting connection here. And the pasuk says that just like Hashem commanded Moshe, Moshe commanded Yehoshua. And all these things, Hashem commanded Moshe, Moshe commanded Yehoshua. V'chein asa Yehoshua lo hisir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. This is what Yehoshua did. He didn't leave one thing that Moshe told him, that he didn't leave one thing undone. Everything was done, everything was completed, everything had been done. The Malbim points out, it's very interesting, that you know the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, u'mesar le Yehoshua, v'Yehoshua le Hizkenim, etc., etc. Moshe accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, he passed that on to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua passed it on to the Hizkenim, and then down the line. Now normally we think that what did he teach? What did he teach Yehoshua? And what did Yehoshua teach this Canaan? The actual Torah, the mitzvos, you know, the Torah that we read, the actual Torah. Would you say that this is included, right? These battles, how to conquer Eretz Yisrael.
That's part of the Chronicles. That's part of the Torah.
Oh, so I would think that most people would say, well, maybe that's probably not included. Meaning, what was included was the. You have to know your history, maybe, right? But I would say, you know, my gut reaction would be what was included where it was the actual Torah, the stories, the mitzvos, that's what's included. But, you know, how to go about conquering Eretz Yisrael, what to do, what not to do, you know, how to do it, you know, I don't know if that's included in the first mission of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah, Misenai, Misarul Yehoshua, but says the Malbim, yes. That's exactly what this pasuk is coming to emphasize. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe Avdo, kein tziva Moshe es Yehoshua. Just like Hashem commanded Moshe, Moshe commanded Yehoshua. So what do you see? You see an amazing thing. You see that this was also Torah. Because right? The Mishnah says, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Which means this was included in Torah. Torah also doesn't just include, you know, mitzvah of kibud av ha'em, hilcho Shabbos. Of course it includes all of those things. But Torah also includes how to defeat your enemies. Torah also includes how to wage war, how to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Right, all that is included in Torah, right, which is really an amazing thing, and that's why the Mishnah says Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. What did he accept? What did he get? Moshe got all the halachos, all the mitzvos, all the stories, and also all of this. How do we conquer Eretz Yisrael? How do we live our lives? How do we go about things? What do we do? What do we not do? All that is included in the Torah. All that was accepted by Moshe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai and passed down to Yehoshua and Yehoshua to his kingdom, etc., etc.
How do you know that was passed down to his kingdom?
So, it doesn't say that here. It doesn't say that here. How does the Malbim know this? I'm not sure.
It doesn't even say, to me, it doesn't even say he taught him past the Torah.
Right.
It says that he commanded him what to do with the city,
right,
or whatever it is, but it doesn't say general that he...
Where do you see, right?
The Yericho, you know what you're going to do.
Where do you see the connection, right?
The sun's going to stand still
and
stuff.
Right.
Show that from this pasuk.
Right. So I imagine that, I think that the Malbim is picking up on the fact that the pasuk, you know, emphasizes that Moshe, you know, Hashem commanded Moshe all these things, and then Moshe commanded Yehoshua. Now, you don't usually find that chain of command.
It doesn't say teach, it says a command. So it's just, he gave him a specific command for this. That's all.
But we're talking about everything. Right? Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe Abdo, kein tziva Moshe es Yehoshua, v'chein asa Yehoshua lo hisir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. It sounds like we're talking about in general.
Right, but it sounds like specific commands. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, this is what you got to do. But
right.
He meant Yehoshua because he's the leader.
Correct.
It doesn't mean that it was passed down.
Oh, no. Correct. It doesn't mean that this, right, this, no, correct. Yeah, you're right about that. We don't know that this was passed down any further than Yehoshua. right? Meaning the other parts of the Torah were passed down from Moshe to Yeshua to his kingdom, etc. Right? Hilchos Shabbos and Kibbud Av Va'em and all
like
these
the
things.
The top general is retiring; he's passing it on to the next general.
Right. But this part of Torah, was passed down from Moshe to Yeshua. Now it may have stopped at Yeshua, because once Yeshua was done, he conquered over all of Eretz Yisrael. That's it. You don't need him to pass it on to anybody else. But the point is that according to the Malbim, you see that this is included in Torah, which to me is an amazing chiddush. But this is included in Torah. Okay. He mentions also that it makes an interesting comment. He says that had Moshe done this conquest. Now we know Moshe was not allowed. Right? Moshe was not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe was not allowed to do this conquest and to conquer Eretz Yisrael. This was Yahushua's domain. So he says, but he says an interesting thing. He says that had Moshe been allowed to do it, it would have been done even in a more miraculous way. Even in a more miraculous way had Moshe been allowed to do it. Right? Why? Moshe was a greater Navi. Right? Moshe was a greater prophet. Moshe was a little bit closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Chazal say Moshe was like the sun, Yahushua was the moon. So had Moshe been allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael and to conquer all the cities, it would have been done even in a more miraculous way. I mean, there were plenty of miracles in times of Yahushua, but it would have been even more miraculous had Moshe been allowed to do it. Now, Moshe wasn't allowed to do it, right? But the Malbim points out that even though Yahushua now took over and now the miracles are going to diminish, you're not going to have as many miracles if Yahushua is doing it, but the details of what's being done are going to be the same. Right? Meaning the game plan is going to be the same. The miracles would be greater if Moshe was doing it. But the end game is going to be the same. It also teaches you sometimes, you know, like plan A, plan B. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever he wants to accomplish is going to be accomplished. We'll see this in a minute, also a little bit later in the Perek. But whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to accomplish, that's what's going to happen. How would that happen? You know, the means by which it happens, so that might depend. You know, who's doing it, who decides to do it, who decides not to do it. That's up to the people's bechira. You know, we can choose what to do. All right, so we choose what to do, and that might dictate how it's going to be done. In the end of the day, it's going to happen, everything's going to be the same. In the end of the day, it's going to be the same. It's like, you know, Chazal tell us that a person's parnasa is set from Rosh Hashanah, right? As Rosh Hashanah comes, Kadosh Baruch already knows how much we're going to make, what this year is going to be like, what the stocks are going to do. Now we may cheshbon all these things throughout the year. We're going to sell this stock, and we're going to buy this business, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. You know, we're making all these moves, and that's fine. That's our bechira. We're deciding what to do. In the end of the day, the number is going to be the same. Whatever the number that Kadosh Baruch Hu decided it's going to look like at the end of the year, that's what it's going to look like. Now, you know, it's a question how to get there. So that's up to us. That's up to our bechir. That's up to how we decide to do things. You know, we're gonna choose to do this and to do that. At the end of the day, it's gonna get to the same place. You know, so it's like almost like the, you know, it's a little bit comforting to know that the hashgacha. You know, we have to do our best. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. Kadosh Baruch Hu will, you know, we do our best. And Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the rest. Right? That's
maybe
what all the kids' books say.
Leave everything alone and see what happens.
You gotta do your ishtablus. Yeah, you have to do your ishtablus. So anyway, so that is an interesting point. He also mentions that even things that were not told to Yahushua explicitly, right? Yahushua figured out on his own. Like, there were certain things that Moshe told him explicitly, and certain things that Moshe apparently did not tell him explicitly, but Yahushua was mechamin to his Rebbe. You know, when you learn by your Rebbe for so long, and you're meshamish your Rebbe for so long, you end up thinking like him. You know, so he ended up intuiting a lot of the things that, even the things that Moshe had not told him explicitly. Okay, let's move to Pasuk Tezayin. Vayikach Yehoshua es kol haaretz azos. So Yehoshua conquered this entire land. Hahar ve'es kol hanegev, ve'es kol eretz hagoshen, ve'es ha-shvela, ve'es ha-arava, ve'es har Yisrael, u'shvelaso. So all these lands, the mountains and the dry, arid lands, and the lowlands, and the all the different lands. Good question. Goshen. Where's Goshen?
Mitzrayim.
So we know Goshen and Mitzrayim, right? So, but are we talking about Mitzrayim here? Presumably we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, right? So the Mefarshim deal with this. The Mefarshim say, the Pshat is, yeah, go right, exactly. The Prusha Pshat, says the Radak, is that this was a different Goshen. There was one Goshen in Mitzrayim, and that we read about in, you know, we're going to read about in a couple of Parshios. And then there was a Goshen in Eretz Yisrael. It was a different Goshen. That's the Prusha Pshat. The Alpiderach Drash, the Radak says that perhaps this was the same Goshen. Perhaps this was the Goshen of Mitzrayim. So, why was it the Goshen of Mitzrayim? How did that happen exactly? So he explains that it's possible that maybe Goshen of Mitzrayim was very close to Eretz Yisrael. It was like right over the border. The border between Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Goshen was right there. Which is not crazy. Again, I mean, I'm not looking at a map in front of me, but it's not crazy to think about it, because if you think about it, Yaakov and his children came down from Eretz Canaan, and they settled in Goshen. So it almost makes sense that Goshen was somewhere near the border. You know, they didn't travel all the way through Mitzrayim and find some random place to settle. It kind of makes sense that they would settle somewhere close to the border. So it's not like such an outlandish thing. Also, the Radak points out that we find that the terminology of Vaya'al, that when Yosef went to go see Yaakov in Goshen, the Torah says Vaya'al, that he went up. Normally, Vaya'al, Aliyah, is normally a reference to going up to Eretz Yisrael. So here, going up, he says maybe he wasn't going to Eretz Yisrael, but he was going close to Eretz Yisrael. The Goshen, that might be a proof that Goshen was close to Eretz Yisrael. Sorry? Vayeri Mitzrayim, exactly. Always going down from Eretz Yisrael, right? So this was Goshen, and he said also that we know that Yaakov sends Yehuda down to Goshen. Right? The pasuk says Yehuda went down to Goshen. Yaakov sent him down to prepare, and Chazal say, what did he go prepare? He had to go prepare yeshiva. Right? He got to have a place to learn when we get down to Mitzrayim. So some say that in the merit of Yehuda going down before his father, before his brothers, and setting things up so that they would have good ruchnius, they would have things set up well in Mitzrayim. So because of that, he merited the land of Goshen, even though Goshen was technically in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Mitzrayim, it was kind of annexed here by Yahushua, and Goshen was a very good land. It was a very nice land. It was very, it grew well. Things grew well there. It was a good land. So apparently that was also part of the schar. Interesting, he calls this mountain here at the end of the pasuk Har Yisrael. What's Har Yisrael? So he says that this was a place where Yaakov had lived. This mountain was one of the places where Yaakov had lived, so they named it Har Yisrael. Right? I don't know exactly where that is. Yeah.
So if Yehuda got Goshen as a reward,
right?
So then why wasn't that an issue like the 2.5 tribes wanted to settle in Hayarde?
That's good, right?
Israel.
Right. So here, I don't think this, meaning that was something that they initiated, that they didn't want to be in Eretz Canaan proper, they wanted to be in Eber HaYarde. Here, Yehuda got his chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Right? This was something extra that was kind of tacked on, and he didn't even initiate it. It sounds like just as a reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? You know, he told Moshe told Yehoshua, go chop Goshen also. Once you're conquering, just go right over the border and conquer Goshen, and you'll give that to Yehuda just as a side reward. But it seems like it didn't come from him. He was happy with his chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
Went to some other tribes that went after some other territory.
That's exactly what Marvin just said. Yeah, exactly. Right. And Reuven got it in half of Menashe. Excellent. Right. Okay. Pasuk Yitzayin. Min ha'har hechalak ha'oles se'ir. From this har, this mountain that was chalak. We'll see what that means in a moment. Ha'oles se'ir, which is heading, which is going up towards se'ir. V'yad ba'algad bebikas ha'levanon. Tachas Har Hermon. Now we're talking about the valley of the Levanon, right near the base of Har Hermon. So we're already talking. Now we're talking towards the north of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'es kol malcheihem, all the kings. Lachan vayakim vayemisim. Yehoshua conquered all of these kings. He conquered them. He destroyed them. And there's different interpretations of what chalak means here. Chalak either means that the mountain was like split into two. And half of it was kind of on one side, half of it was on the other. Some say chalak means it was smooth. Chalak also means can mean smooth. So maybe it was a smooth mountain. Most mountains have trees on them. This was a smooth mountain, didn't have any trees. Okay, be it as it may, but that's one of the mountains. Now this is fascinating, this pasuk Yirches. Yomim rabim asa Yehoshua es kol hamalachim ha'ela milchama. For many days, the Navi says, Yehoshua waged war with all of these kings. For many days. It's kind of like strange pasuk. For many days. Well, what are we trying to say here? That it took a long time? First of all, it's interesting because we read earlier in the Navi, right, that actually Yehoshua conquered everything pretty in short order, right? Everything went pretty quickly.
Did he make the sun stop?
Yes, he made the sun stop. That was before, right? And then, I'm trying to remember exactly where the pasuk was. The pasuk says, one second, maybe it was... If you look at the end of Perek Yud, Pasuk Mem Beis in Perek Yud, that was a long Perek. Ve'eis kol ha-melochim ha'ele ve'es artsam, all these kings in their lands, lochad Yahushua pamechas, at once. You know, he killed them all quickly. And all the Mepharshim say, what's pamechas? He did it one after the other, knocked them off. Right, one city, next city, everything was quick. Everything was chick-chock. There was no real pushback. There was no real retaliation here. Everything was chick-chock. He went from one city to the next, just conquering, killing. That's what Yahushua did. All of a sudden, we have a pasuk that says Yomim Rabim, many days. Things slowed down. What happened here? Things slowed down. So it's fascinating. So many of the Mefarshim say here that this pasuk is actually saying something negative about Yahushua. Which is the first for us. Right, in the 11th prakim of Sefer Yahushua, we almost haven't had a negative word about Yahushua. We've only spoken about how great he's been. Right, the one maybe negative thing that we learned was much earlier in Sefer Yahushua. Remember, we learned when he was going into battle, and he didn't learn that night. And the Malach came to him. Remember, we learned that the Malach came to him and challenged him and said, "What happened? How come you guys were mevatel Torah? You didn't bring the Karban Tamid, and you didn't learn last night." Right, Yahushua says, "Okay, you're right. I made a mistake," and he went to go learn. Right, we learned that that's how the Gemara understands the psukim there. That was the one maybe negative derogatory thing about Yahushua, but everything else has been extremely positive. Yahushua's been doing amazing things. Right, all of a sudden, so Rashi says that this is something negative. Why? Because what did Kadosh Baruch Hu tell Yahushua? He told him, "V'isnachaltem es ha'aretz," that you're going to help Klal Yisrael conquer the land, and then what's going to happen? Then you're going to die. Right? Your job is to conquer the land with Klal Yisrael. Once you conquer the land, then you're going to die. So Yahushua's scared. He wants to slow things down a little bit. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to leave this world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, when you finish conquering the land of Israel, you're going to die. Yahushua says, "Uh-oh, I better put the brakes on. Let me slow things down a little bit. These wars are going too quickly. Right? We're just conquering everybody left and right." So he slowed down a little bit. He took a little break, you know, and he schlepsach a little bit here. You know, Yahushua, you know, schlepped things out a little bit because he wanted to extend his life. Okay? That's how the Mefarshim understand this.
Was that his punishment?
Because he was supposed to live. Very good. So the Radak says that this is why he was punished. Yeah, he lost 10 years of his life.
He
was supposed to live to 120, and he died at 110.
Did he have any family?
He lost 10 years. What?
Did he have any family?
He had family, yeah.
He had sons. Were they fighting with him?
Presumably, I'm not sure. I mean, the Navi doesn't really tell us, but yeah. But anyway, so the Radak says that Yahushua was punished and he lost 10 years of his life because of this. That was because he slowed down. Hashem says, you know, you're not going to outsmart me. You know, you think that you're going to slow things down and therefore you're going to extend your life again. Right, similar to the idea we just mentioned. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do is going to happen. Right? You can't try to be a chucham and outsmart a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't try to outsmart, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to die, you're going to die, that's it. So you think you're going to...
If you would have won the wars faster,
yeah,
you wouldn't have waited until 120, you would have done it earlier. And then what?
Well, okay, so I don't know exactly what the cheshbon would have been. I don't know exactly what the cheshbon would have been. But Yahushua, I mean, let's say he was supposed to live until 120, right? And now Hashem says, you know, when you're done the battles, you're gonna die. Now Yahushua doesn't know that he's gonna live till 120. He doesn't know how long he's supposed to live. He just knows when he's done, he's gonna die.
Maybe Hashem told him, but he didn't say when he would die. When you
finish. No, exactly, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. He did not tell him the years. He didn't tell him how old he would be when he would die. He just told him, when you're done, you're gonna die. So Yahushua slows things down, thinking that that's gonna help. Because Baruch Hu tells him it's not gonna help. Right, and not only is it not going to help, but because of that, I'm going to punish you, and you're going to end up, you know, the wars would go even faster. And end up that the wars would go even faster, presumably, and everything would be done by 110. He would be ready to go. So that's what he says. And also, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a little patch across the panim here. Why? Because he says this is not what your Rebbe did. Now, your Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu didn't act like this. Why? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Go fight against the Midianim, ve'achar te'aseif el amecha. And after you fight against the Midianim, you're going to die. And what did Moshe do? Miyad, right away. He gathered the troops and he went to go fight. So he says, you see, Moshe didn't care. Right? And all the Mepharshim, you know, over there say, you see the greatness, you see the godliness of Moshe Rabbeinu. that even though he was told that his death is going to be dependent on finishing this battle, you would think he would be schlepping, you know, okay, let's try to strategize, let's take a couple weeks, let's take a vacation, let's go on a cruise, you know, let's try to you know, slow things down a little bit. You don't find that. Right away, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the troops and he goes to fight. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Yehoshua and he says, Yehoshua, this lesson you didn't learn from your Rebbe. And everything else you learned, this lesson you didn't learn. Gives him a little patch and he says, you're going to die 10 years earlier than you were supposed to. Again, I don't know if he told him that, but that was the decree that because of this, he was punished. You know, you see, you know, it's of course you see, Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov lo yechta. Right? There's no tzaddik who doesn't make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Right? That Chazal tells us everybody makes mistakes. Psukim tells us everybody makes mistakes. Now again, Yoshua's mistakes are not like our mistakes, right? We make much worse mistakes. Yoshua, this was a mistake on his madrega. You know, that he tried to slow things down a little bit and didn't quite realize it, didn't quite think about the fact that, listen, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, that's what's gonna happen. You know, just you do what you're supposed to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything else. You know, we do what we're supposed to do, our job. Whatever your tafkid is, you do. Don't try to make cheshbonos that I'm gonna slow down HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, plan. I'm gonna change HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not gonna change. You're not gonna slow it down. You do what you're supposed to do, and He'll take care of the rest. You know, but this was a lesson that even Yehoshua, right, even the great Yehoshua made this mistake and made this error here and was punished for it. Again, it doesn't tarnish his reputation because we don't find, you know, we don't think of Yehoshua as a bad guy. You know, when we think of Yehoshua, we think he was a great. He was second in command. He was even Moshe's Talmud. You know, we don't think of him. This didn't tarnish his reputation. But you have one little nick here. You know, one little thing that shows that he could have improved. Yeah.
What do you get for 10 years? Why 10 years? How do you know?
I don't know. The Radak says it was 10 years. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why it was 10 years or how it comes. You know, why it comes.
We find
the
Yehoshua later on when he says how long the whole conquest took. How many years?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It took quite a few years.
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't understand this whole thing.
Yeah.
If you look at what it said in the previous Perek Yud, what it said was that the battles were fast.
Right.
Okay. But they have to travel. Nobody says there was a miracle. After the initial miracle, when they went to Gilgal,
right,
back, whatever.
Right, right, right.
Nobody said there was a miracle as they went from city to city to city to city.
Okay.
They were moving thousands of people by foot. They had no horses.
Things go slowly.
Things go slowly. So all it said was that the battles went very quick.
But it could be that it took time.
But over here it says Yom and Rambam. It lasted a lot of days, the Lachama, because they were going from one city to the next city. So I don't understand what the contradiction
is.
Right. And the fact is, if you look at the end of it, with the end of day, the battle, I think, it took 13, 14 years till they divided Eretz Yisrael,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
So,
right.
It couldn't have been that fast, whatever it was. So, I don't understand the contradiction that leads everybody to make interpretation.
So I think what you're saying is what the Mefarshim say, that's the Pashup Shot. Because Pashup Shot is what you're saying is correct. Pashup Shot is that just here things took more time. It wasn't the Yeshua schlepping, things took more time.
The battles went fast,
but maybe the schlepping in between took more time, or whatever, you know, the traveling.
They had to get food, that, you know, they didn't have one anymore.
Right. Yeah. So I think that is the Pashup Shah. I think what they're saying here, these are the Midrashim. This is the drush in these psukim.
But something had to bother them for them to get.
Well, yeah, no, I think it still bothers them. I hear what you're saying. I hear how you're resolving it, but I think it's still a question. But anyway, but that's the idea. It's interesting. The Radak also makes the point. He says the pasuk that we say in Tehillim, David HaMelech, Rabos Machshavos B'Lev Ish. Right, Rabos Machshavos B'Levish. That, you know, many people, you know, think. Right, what do they say in Yiddish? Avench Tracht und Gott Lacht. Right. So you know, it's people think. You know, people think, and we make cheshbonos. In the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Don't worry, sit tight. Everything will be okay." You know, I got you covered. You know, everything's gonna work out. You know, in the right way. And he says, "That's this." You know, Yeshua is making all these cheshbonos. He's making all these calculations. If I do this, it'll extend. If I do that, if I do the other thing, yeah. At the end of the day, you do what you're supposed to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. Okay, let's look at Pasuk Yotes. Lo haisa ir asher hishlima el bnei Yisrael bilti hachiv yoshvei givon es hakol lokchu b'melchama. It's very interesting. So the Pasuk says that there were no other cities that made peace with them. Right, think about it. The only city that made peace with them was Givon, the Givonim. And even that was, you know, they tricked Yehoshua and the Jewish people into doing it. But there were no other cities that made peace with them except for the Givonim, who were part of the Chivi nation. And everything else was everything else they defeated. And the Malbim says, that this was actually Bashert. You know, this was a little bit, this shows the Hashkach of Hashem also. And even the fact that things went slowly, the previous pasuk says Yomim Rabin, that this part of the battle, that this part of the war went slowly, he says that's also a little bit Bashert. Why? Because had these battles all happened, had there not been any delay, and the battles all happened one right after the other, so then he says that a lot of people would have started to give in. They would have started to give up. They would have started to say, listen, let's make a peace treaty with the Jewish people. And, you know, the Mefarshim discussed this, we've discussed this in the past, that if the people really wanted to be at peace, the Klal Yisrael would have had to accept them. Right? Would have had to accept them. And, you know, again, on their terms, you know, they had to get rid of their Avodah Zarah, and they had to pay taxes to the Jewish people, and they had to be their slaves and things like that. So there were certain conditions that had to be met. But in the end of the day, if a country or a city was willing to accept those conditions, then the Jewish people would have to accept them as would have to accept that peace. So this was a little bit of hashkacha here that, you know, things schlepped a little bit. It was Yom and Rabin. Things schlepped a little bit. What happens when things schlep? People forget, you know, how scary the Jewish people are. You know, and people forget the emotion, the fear of Yehoshua and the Bnei Yisrael wore off. And then, you know, when they got to a new city, the people were like, yeah, let's go fight the Jews. They forgot already what happened, a short time earlier, that the Jews are just making mincemeat out of everybody that they're encountering. So this delay was a little bit of the Hashkachas Hashem, that Hashem wanted the delay so that the fear would wear off a little bit and the people would continue to fight and wouldn't just want to be make peace with the Jewish people. Okay, Pasuk Chav, Ki me'eis Hashem ha'isa l'chazek es libam likras ha'melchama. And that's the Malbim connects these two psukim. He says this was really from Hashem. This was from Hashem, that Hashem hardened their hearts. L'chazek es libam. He hardened their hearts likras ha'melchama in order to go out and fight the Jewish people as Israel. L'man ha'charimam, so that the Jewish people would be able to destroy them. L'vilti he'yos lahem techina, and there would be no mercy. Ki l'man hishmidam, and they would just be destroyed the way that Hashem told Moshe. So here their hearts are being hardened. Right? This reminds you of what? Paro. Right? And that's what the Mefarshim say. That there's two reasons why this was happening. Number one was a punishment. Because of the sins that these people had done. So this was their punishment, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened their hearts and didn't allow them to just give in and say, okay, forget it, we'll just make peace with the Jewish people. Similar to Paro, whose heart was hardened as a form of punishment, according to some Mefarshim. That was a punishment to Paro, that his heart was hardened and he didn't see, he wasn't able to see things clearly, and to see the fact that, okay, it's time to give in now. He wasn't able to do that. He kept fighting and fighting and fighting. So do these people, right? These cities in Eretz Yisrael, they're not seeing things. They're not seeing the fact that Yehoshua is just coming in and wiping out everybody, and they keep fighting and fighting. That's number one. And he says number two also, that this also gives Yehoshua the ability to defeat them. Meaning, had their hearts not been hardened, then all of a sudden everybody would be knocking on the Jewish people's door to try to make peace. And, you know, and then things would be kind of iffy. You know, would it be peace? Would it not be peace? Would they maintain the conditions? Would they not maintain the conditions? Not so simple that this would have worked out well. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed their hearts to be hardened and they kept fighting. If they kept fighting, then Yehoshua is going to destroy them. Pasuk at the end says, "Levilti hayoslam techina," that they wouldn't have any mercy. So either they wouldn't have any mercy from Hashem, they wouldn't have any mercy from Klal Yisrael. And the Malbim also says that the second reason also is that we have a mitzvah of Lo Sachaya Kol Neshama, that when we go into Eretz Canaan and we greet these Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we're supposed to destroy them. We're supposed to kill them. That's the mitzvah in the Torah. That when we have these Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that's what we're supposed to do. And also, we didn't want them to remain in the country. Had they remained in the country, then they would have had a negative impact. They would have had a negative influence on the Jews who were now settling the country. So we wanted them out. You know, these weren't great people. These were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We wanted them out. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Let's just finish off the perek. Vayovo Yehoshua Ba'es Ahi. So Yehoshua comes at this time. Vayachreis es ha'anokim in ha'har, and he cuts out the anokim. These anokim are these giants from the mountain. The Metzudas Tzion says they were people, literally people who were very, very tall, right? From the mountain, min Chevron, min Devir, min Anov, all these places. We call Har Yehuda, and we call Har Yisrael. Again, we had the same reference to Har Yisrael before. Imareim hechrimam Yehoshua. Yehoshua killed them. He killed their cities. There is some talk in the Mefarshim here that it seems that later also we find. Remember, we had this discussion about Chevron, that we find also Kalev defeating these giants. Sorry?
Right,
I was
going to say,
didn't
Kalev, when he got Chevron,
yeah,
and they gave him Chevron, and they say he got these giants.
Right, exactly. So that's what the Mefarshim say, that again, similar to what the Mefarshim said earlier, that really Kalev may have done the dirty work, but here everything is described within the battles of Yehoshua, because Yehoshua was the general. Right, Yehoshua was the general, he was leading the command, and therefore even though Kalev may have done, Chevron, he may have taken care of these giants, he may have done the specific things, but in the end of the day, it's all subsumed under what Yehoshua did. Okay, Pasuk Chav Beis, Lo Nosar Anokim Be'eretz B'nei Yisrael, there were no giants left in all of Eretz Yisrael, Rak Be'aza Be'gas Uve'ashdod Nish'aru, and only in these couple of places, these three places, Aza, Gas and Ashdod, right, cities that we even know of today. So these three places, they remained. We find earlier, interestingly, that Aza was one of the places that the Jews kind of left alone, right, when they conquered. That it wasn't a place that was immediately conquered.
Should have destroyed it then.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And then Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayikach Yehoshua. So Yehoshua conquers the entire land, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe. And now Yehoshua says, now it's time to divide. Right? We've conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, and now it's time to divide, just like the Torah says, right? The land's supposed to be divided according to the Shvatim. So now it's time to divide the lands. And then Pasuk says at the end, V'ha'aretz shakta mimilchama, and the land was quiet. Right? The land was quiet, the land rested, there was no more battle, there was no more war. That after all these years of battle, it ended, we conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, all of the cities, and now it's time to divide Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. We finished Perek Yud Aleph, and I, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll finish, we'll go through Perek Yud Beis. We'll start Perek Yud Beis next week.